Proverbs.
Proverbs chapter number 6 tonight. Proverbs chapter number 6. And Proverbs chapter number 6, we see some things that we use that they says that the Lord hates. And I think it's an interesting thought tonight, and that's the title of tonight's message is Hating Sin. Hating Sin. And I know it might be challenging sometimes when the Lord lays something upon your heart. You're like, are you sure, Lord, that's what you want? But it's found in the scriptures here. There are some things that the Lord hates. He calls some of them an abomination. And there are some things that we should be hate also. And the Bible tells us that. And so we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. The Lord spoke to my heart when I was reading an email, a blog, I'm not sure exactly. Brother Scott Pauley was talking about keeping your laughter, and there was a line in there that God kind of jumped off the page. And I'll read a little bit of that and show you the line and show what the main thought of the message tonight is. He said, there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. That's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 4. When it comes to addressing sin, our laughter is to be turned to mourning. And then James chapter 4, verse number 9 talks about that. But be sure of this, once you have come to Jesus, he turns our mourning into laughter. It talks about Abraham and Sarah laughed in unbelief at the promise of God to give them a child in their old age in Genesis. But when the son was born, laughter was changed. Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. The laughter of unbelief became the laughter of joy, and what a witness it was. Then there's that famous song, A Merry Heart Doth Good Like a Medicine. You guys remember that song? That's I know not all of you do, but they used to sing that song, Merry Heart Doth Good Like a Medicine, but a broken spirit dryeth the bones. And this wounded world could use some of this medicine right now. It is more than a happy face. It's a merry heart. Then our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them, it says in the book of Psalms. When sanctified laughter and jubilant singing characterizes the lives of changed men and women, it is a very attractive thing, or most attractive thing. Joy is a powerful testimony. Now, just because people are laughing, and this is the little paragraph that interested me, or at least got the message from, or at least the thought behind the message, just because people are laughing does not mean they are full of joy of the Lord. Laughter can be one of the most emptiest things in the world if it does not grow out of a heart filled with God. And that's found in Proverbs 14, verse number 13, talking about the different form of laughter or the emptiness of laughter when it's not with God. Then it said this statement, a lost world is laughing its way to hell. And too often in entertainment, believers are laughing at things they should be weeping over. And I thought when it said that too often in entertainment, believers are laughing at things they should be weeping over. And God kind of burdened my heart about we are laughing at things that we should be mourning over. And the way that at least the paragraphs I finished with, laughter is not the goal, is merely an indicator. You can tell a lot about a person by what makes them sad, mad, and glad. Scripture reveals that laughter is one outward evidence of a happy heart. And so tonight, we are laughing at things that we should be mourning over is the thought behind it. And we're going to look at different things that the Lord hates, and then we're going to look at things that we should hate. And the thought behind it is that sometimes as believers and Christians, we have cozied up with sin so close and so much, we have justified our sin so much, that no longer does it bother us, no longer does it prick us. We allow the things of this world to enter into our life, and we justify them and say that they're okay. And that's not the way we should look at sin. Sin should break our heart. It's something that the Bible says we should even hate. You say, really? We're going to see that. And use a strong language. The Bible uses strong language. I know more people like hearing about the love of God, but and just like he has a perfect love, he has a perfect hatred also. And we need to learn that there are things in our lives that we should not be laughing at and that we should not be allowing to come in. And said there are things in our lives that we should hate. Now, we're not talking about hating the sinner. It's really easy for us to get up and hoop and holler about things like homosexuality and transgender and things like that that we don't struggle with. But he's talking about all sin here. And so many times we've allowed sin to come in and creep in, and we make it part of our lives. It's that sin that so doth easily beset us. It doesn't even bother us anymore. So tonight I'm praying that God will work in my heart and your hearts also, that we would just have with an open heart, not to listen to just what the preacher is saying, but to, at the end, say, God, is there something in my life that I'm allowing that I should hate? Is there something in my life that should be upsetting me? Is there something that I should be changing, something I should be working on? Lord, search me and see. And obviously, we're going to talk about certain sins, and we're going to look at certain things that people have allowed enter into the church. No one even bothers. It doesn't bat an eye anymore in certain places. And we've cozied up with it so much. We've come comfortable with it. We don't not only hate it, we laugh at it, and we enjoy it. And that's a really, really dangerous place to be. Let's look here in Proverbs chapter number 6 and start in verse number 16. These six things that the Lord hate. Now, I know that word hate is a strong word, and it's the word that the Bible uses. But hate is talking about being the enemy of. It's the opposite of love. And it's the opposite. It's opposed to it. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So not only does he use the word hate here, he uses the word abomination. You say, Pastor, we like hearing about God's love and mercy, and we will look at that. Because we want to understand that even though God is such a Lord that demands us to obey him, but he also is a God who is full of mercy too. The word abomination actually just refers to something that is that is loathed, something that causes horror. Abomination is pretty much a morally disgusting thing. And God says that these things here are things that disgust him. Look what it says here. And this is God's word, it's not mine. Some of the things, of course, I'm going to insert later on, but these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto them, a proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know you've been speaking to my heart about things that people laugh at, where we should be mourning at them. And I know that this is the challenge, what is right and what is wrong, what is scriptural and what is preference. But God, there is certainly many things in this world that we have just grown so accustomed to and so used to that we begin to enjoy these wicked things. And God, we need to be reminded. Lord, if they don't get reminded at church, where are they going to be heard? About the reality is there are things that you do not approve of. These are many things that are present sometimes in churches and in Christians' lives. Lord, work into people's hearts. Lord, I desire that they would have a sincere desire to seek your will in every avenue and area of their life. And Lord, make the application according to what the scripture says, according to what you speak to our hearts about. And Lord, that they would not let sin rule and reign in their lives, but just as you hate with a perfect hatred, we will hate also sin. We hate what it does to us. We hate how it affects others. We hate what it's doing to this world and what it's doing to these churches. We're opposed to it. We're against it. We're not going to love it, but instead it's going to be something we stand against. Lord, help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. So I begin thinking about some of the different things that are an abomination. You go back to the Old Testament, and I know you're going to say, that's the law, that's the Old Testament. We learn about the character of God inside the Old Testament. No, not everything applies to us, but we do learn truths from there. And some of these things are also mentioned inside the New Testament. Some things that are abomination from the Old Testament, things such as homosexuality, idolatry, human sacrifice, sacrificing defective animals. You say, well, that's kind of a strange one. That means not giving God your best. It means providing something and say, here, God, I want to keep what's best for me. I'm going to give you what's left over, and I think you should be happy with that. God says he hates that. That's an abomination to him. Engaging in occult practices. I think everybody would say amen. We shouldn't do that, right? Dishonest business practices. Ritual prostitution. I mean, these are really bad things. And most of us say, hey, you know what? I agree there. Those are things that we... But God continues on in here in the book of Proverbs and talks about wisdom here and speaking about it, he says, look, this is what God hates also. We're just going to go through these very quickly. A proud look. Pride is something that is God hates. It's an eyes of loftiness. It's an attitude of the heart that overvalues oneself and undervalues someone else. Anybody know anybody like that? I do. I look at myself sometime and I see the pride in my own life. And I was like, I gotta look at that and just say, hey, that's not something I should just keep hidden. That's not something I should just tuck away and say, hey, it's not that big of a deal. No, God says, I don't want that. God says, I'm opposed to that. God even says he giveth grace to the humble, but he resisteth the proud. But so often we say, okay, it's not that big of a deal. And we start considering that he says a proud look, one who overvalues himself and undervalues others, a lying tongue. Lying has become so accepted today, we chuckle at it. That's not what God says. God says there's some things in this world that he can't stand. And that's something that we should, once again, he is a merciful God, he is a gracious God, he is a forgiving God, but he's saying, hey, I don't want a lying tongue. God hates lying. Lying is the opposite of God's nature. God is truth. A lie is an attack on his very person. He will ultimately judge those who tells lies. And I want to encourage you tonight, lying is something that has become so accepted that you even hear it in pulpits sometimes. That's not something that we should want. That's not something we should want in our lives. We should not want to put out falsehoods. Hands that shed innocent blood. This rephrase talks about murder. It talks about hands that shed innocent blood. It speaks of those who take away the lives of other humans. And I know that may not apply to many of us today, but at the same time, our world is famous for it. Inside, even I think of the innocent blood. I think about the abortions that happen, and there's churches today that would preach abortion's okay. God says he hates it, and it's something we should not be taken in and allowed to believe. Hey, maybe we should think about it. A heart that devises wicked imaginations refers to the heart that is always plotting evil. It speaks of the person who is given over to the thoughts of iniquity. It's the person who is always thinking about the next mischief. And I tell you, that is what happens. And if we do not get a hold on the fact that God hates certain things, and we do not take care of the lying and the pride, that you know what's going to happen sooner or later, we're going to consider, hey, what's the next fun thing to do? What's the next wrong thing to do? And it's a challenge for some people. That's always, and it's not like you're smart enough to come up with it on your own. Devil's the one that's giving those things to you. He's the one that's trying to trip you up. He's the one that's trying to mess you up. And he's the one that's, and so we need to learn how to, I don't want that wicked imagination. And just because it's in our thoughts, and just because not everybody sees it, and it's not laid out in the open, and just because we might joke about it with our friends, God says, no, 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 I hate that. Remember, everything's open and naked before the Lord. Just because you can send something, an email or a text message, it doesn't make it okay. If God says, hey, I don't want that. And if you don't get your heart right, you know what's going to happen? The next one is feet swift and running to mischief. When it's saying there that there is feet that are swift to running the mischief, it's a heart that blazes the trail that feet will follow. When the wicked imaginations are formed in the heart, the feet will be there to carry them out. Things don't just come to your mind as soon as you're doing it. It's been already in your heart, and it's something that's proceeding out of your heart. Then you see another one. It says, a false witness that speaketh lies. This refers to a person who commits perjury. They're willing to tell lies on someone to see that person convicted, or they're willing to tell lies about themselves in order to get out of something. That's easy to do, isn't it? It really is. It's, you know, hey, did you do that? No. And no one knows who did it. Well, God does. God says, I hate when that happens. Now, God obviously loves the sinner, but he's saying he hates the sin. And we got to remember this. Let's keep on going. He that soweth discord among the brethren. People will sometimes make it their pleasure to sow discord among the brethren. God says, I hate it. He says, I don't want any part of that. People who sow discord are all around us. They are in the political arena. They are in our communities. They're at jobs. They're at schools. And they're in our families. And they're especially what he's speaking about is at our church amongst the brethren. You might even find some sitting here tonight. Because, and I'm not picking on anybody, some of the things that was said tonight is going to be honest and from the scriptures and things that we deal with, but we know there are people that will go around and take pleasure in trying to sow discord. They'll go from one person to another person, trying to cause problems. And I want to encourage you tonight. God says, these are some things that I hate. So, okay, that's God. He's perfect. God's able to hate something with a perfect hatred and able to love with a perfect love. He says, that's not. He's not talking about us. You're wrong. Because in the scriptures, it talks about how believers are supposed to hate certain things. And we're not going to take time. We're going to take time to read those, but we're not going to let you turn to all of them just for sake of time. But if you want to take your Bible to just another verse, page or two over to chapter number 8. Chapter number 8. And here's some verses. We left out verses because there were so many. And I just want to prove to you that in the scriptures, there are certain things that we are supposed to hate, we're supposed to be opposed to, that we're supposed to be an enemy, we're not supposed to love. Here in Proverbs chapter 8, look what it says in verse number 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So if you have the right perspective of God, that means you're going to hate those things that are wicked and those things that are evil. That means if you, it's saying, hey, if I'm going to love the things that God loves, means I'm going to have to hate the things that God hates. It's sort of like if you, I don't know, I was trying to figure out which preacher had said this, but it's sort of like when people say, if you love flowers, you have to hate the weeds. If you love God, you're going to have to hate the sin. And so why does a person who loves flower hate weeds? It's because the weeds destroy and the weeds cause problems for the flowers. And why does a believer supposed to, if they love God, they're going to have to hate sin. They're going to have to hate what sin does to them because of what it happens in their lives. But we have cozied up and become friends so much and put our arm around certain sins, we no longer even let it bother us. Even sometimes we chuckle at it. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. Do I hate? Psalms 101:3 puts it this way. I think this is a great thing to put up in front of your television. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And he says, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Those that are trying to turn people aside, I hate that type of work. The person who's trying to tell you something is okay and trying to justify that sin, someone who is trying to take you away from what is pure and what is right and keeping you decent and keeping you holy, those that encourage you, he says, I hate the work of them that turn them aside. Psalms 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of the saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Romans 12:9 said, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Amos 5:15, hate the evil and love the good. Psalms 119:104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Psalms 119:163, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Sometimes people, when they get caught in a lie, they are more worried and upset that the fact that they got caught and worried about their punishment than they are sorry for telling the lie. When we care more about what other people think about our sin than what God thinks about our sin, we truly need revival. We truly need to learn that certain things in our lives, that there's something wrong. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. Romans 7:15 says, for that which I do, and Paul is speaking here about, I wish I did this, and I wish I didn't do this, and those things I would do, I do not, and the things I do not wish I did not do. And that's what he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would do, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. And he said, that's really confusing. What it's saying is it's going to always be a battle. It's always going to be a struggle. Even the Apostle Paul was saying, I really wanted to do these things. The Spirit was willing. I desired to do those things. But boy, the flesh was strong. And so that's why you're saying, Pastor, that's why we got to have the right attitude about it. If we don't have the right attitude about it, if we don't have the right attitude to say, hey, that's wrong. I don't want that to be a part of my life. At least we've begun the fight. Sometimes we may fail. Sometimes we may give in, but we're always going to give in every single time if we just sit there and let the world into our lives. That's why I would challenge you today to consider some of the things that have entered into the church house. Thankfully, not into our church house, but into many church houses that used to preach the word of God because they begin to justify certain sins and reason certain things are okay in their heart. They have changed completely and totally. You see that homosexuality is allowed in many churches, encouraged, celebrated. And even there are pastors that are out there that are homosexuals. I even was reading today from somewhere, I don't remember, that one of the Lutheran groups, because I know there's more than one Lutheran group, took on their first transgender pastor. They were super excited. A woman that's saying she is a man and now is their pastor and biblical leader. We see things like that and we wonder, there became a spot and a time where they started getting cozy with sin. There was a spot and time in their life when they allowed the world into the church. And if truth was ever present, it's no longer. You think about things in church that people kind of prickle at when you preach about it. When people talk about alcohol, it's not a popular topic anymore in most churches. It's even something that's debatable. It's something that I know that pastors even talk about it and they relish in it and they talk about how they enjoy it. And the Bible talks about woe unto them. Premarital sex, another thing. It happens so much and so regularly today. That's something that most people don't like hearing talked about. Why is that? Because we've learned to allow certain things to happen and we've enjoyed it. We don't call it sin anymore. We don't hate the sin. Then we start talking about, and I know probably many of those things are not things that maybe hit us as hard as some of the next ones. Entertainment. If you've gone part of the way, you might as well go all the way, right? So you think about music. They get out there for music, and I know different people have different opinions about music, but I think we can all agree that there is ungodly music out there, right? There are things we should not be listening to. There are things that are anti-God. There are things and people that mock God. There are things that people talk about sex, and they talk about drugs, and they talk about alcohol, and they talk about fornication, and they talk about adultery, and they talk about all these wicked things, and we just because they have a good voice and they have good tunes to it, we think it's okay. It's wrong. It's something that we should not allow to get used to. And that's not even beginning to talk about contemporary Christian music and talking about the beat and the world and things like that. If you listen to rap or rock and roll or country music and things like that, if it's not pleasing to the Lord, it's something we shouldn't be a part of. And then you think about TV. I'm not asking you to follow exactly what I do. What I'm asking you is to look at what you're doing and say, God, is this okay? God, is this something that pleases you? God, is this something that I've allowed into my life? And God, is this something that I should be a part of or not be a part of? Because I know some people will come up to me and says, it's between you and the Lord. But there's scriptural principles that are there. We should follow the scriptural principles. And you think there are certain TV shows that talk about, and what it causes us to laugh. I mean, they're funny. I mean, some of them are, it's wicked humor, but it's funny. And we think it's humorous when they mock the things of God and they mock what God keeps sacred. And they talk about the home and they talk about the family. And I haven't watched a lot of primetime TV in the last 15 years, but 15 years ago, they didn't have very many strong head of the household men in the primetime TV. That was not popular then. It was weak men that were walked on all over by their kids, and it was celebrated and how people treated them wrong. And same thing with the mom wasn't a godly lady that would stay home. We need to be careful what we're letting into our minds. We got to be careful. God says there's certain things that we hate, and we need to learn to hate sin also. And just because it may be humorous or funny doesn't make it right. And we think about even other public things that are today. You think about music. You think about TV shows. You think about dancing. Is there really a proper dancing? They're dealing with being dressed improperly, or they're dealing with the wrong music, you cannot tell me that they're a teenage boy and a teenage girl or a grown man and grown woman. I don't care if they're married or not married. Obviously, if they're married, they can do whatever they want, but their bodies pressed up against one another is godly. It just doesn't happen. And it's something you got to be careful with, and it's something that we should hate sin. And the way that people move their bodies in a lustful way, and it's even challenging that you go to sporting events and you see cheerleaders, and that's all they're doing is dancing. We should be careful what we allow into it. And I know there is such things as good cheerleaders. I get that. I went to a Christian school. They had a great pep squad or cheer squad. They didn't have to dance. They didn't have to have things on that was immodest. They just would try to be an encouragement. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what they put out there today, modern, they're just trying to sell something. They're trying to sell themselves. And we've gotten so used to that we cuddle up to it and think it's okay. I think about things that people do not enjoy hearing us talk about because there's no blush. And there are things in the Bible about obedience. These are things that kind of hit a little bit harder to home, but we have learned to love that fact that we don't have to obey those authorities in our life, that we actually are proud about it. When I hear young people talk about how they disobey their parents, it breaks my heart. And they're prideful. Hey, I did this! And when I hear ladies talk about the way they treat their husbands or the way husbands talk about treating their wives, they are not things that we should glory in, not things we should relish in. There are things in this world that God hates, and there are things in our lives we should hate. And we need to ask the Lord, is there something in my life I need to change? I don't want to do anything that is displeasing and honoring to you. Modesty is another one. It's found in the Bible. We preach and teach about it, but in churches today, it's gone. Many times, sir, and it's something that is fought against. It's one of the hardest things to try to hold to a line there and find out what biblical scripture says, what is modesty and what is right and what is wrong, because the world has changed and the world has changed and fashions become more popular and we want to fit in. And I'm not just talking about for ladies. I think men should be modest also. And the Bible talks about in Leviticus not revealing to the different sexes, you know, mother, son, daughter, father, there's different things. And I understand you can say, well, there's certain things you're talking about, and that's the law. There is modesty is important. And if you cannot hear about it in church, where are you going to hear it about at it? I mean, really, who else is going to talk about it? If you can't hear, young ladies can't see how to dress from other ladies, where else are they going to see it but at church? And same thing with young men. If they're not going to learn how to act and dress, if they don't see it in church, where are they going to see it at? This is the place where they should be able to see it at. It shouldn't be a problem or issue. Think about pride. I think probably this message, some people are probably going to have prideful hearts and say, well, he didn't need to say those things. They're all found in the Bible. About entertainment, I will set no wicked thing before my eye. Not messing around with the devil, not messing around with the things of God. Our relationships, our pride, our attitudes, lying, all those things. Lying to ourselves, lying to God, lying to one another. There are things in our lives that should make us sick. But we laugh at them. We enjoy them. And so my encouragement to you tonight is, what is your attitude towards sin? And I'm encouraging you to get alone with God, especially fathers, to say, God, I want to lead my house the way you want me to. I'm sorry, husbands also, husbands and fathers. And even moms and wives. And say, is there something inside my house that shouldn't be there? And ask God to speak to your heart. He will if you come with an open heart. Because I know relationships, I see pride, see it in my own life, I see it in many other eyes, I see bad attitudes, and I see lying, and people have certain, they no longer do they hate it, no longer do they regret it, no longer are they saying they're sorry for it, instead they're proud of it. They wear it as a badge. It's just me. And that's something that I know there's certain things in my life or the years God's helped me with and given me victory over, and I'm thankful, and I do not want to go back to that bondage anymore. But it was a pride and victory. It was something in my life that I was proud of, but it's something God hated. And I want to encourage you tonight. Is there something in your life that God says I don't want in there? Think about it. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. I didn't say it, because I like to think I can do both. But the Bible says, ye cannot serve God and mammon. You're not going to be able to please God and the devil at the same time. You're not going to be able to please God and your flesh at the same time. You say, Pastor, that is strong or hard. And that's, God is Lord. He's supposed to be master and Lord. And that Ananias, and I thought about this, I mentioned this in my Sunday school class, that word or that description that God gives about him being master and Lord. And when you think of master and Lord, you think of somebody who's strong and strict. And if you don't, but many times when he uses that word Adonai, you know what he connects that with? He connects it with his mercy. Think about what it says here. For thou, Lord, and that's the strong, commanding master you should obey, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. He's over here saying, I hate this and I hate this and I hate this because I see what it does to my people. I see what it does to my church. I see what it does to this world. But he says, you know what? I am good. I am ready to forgive and I am plenteous in mercy. He says, I don't want you to mess with this. These things are an abomination. It's not something we should allow to cozy up with and be part of our lives. And we sit there and make that our sin that's so easy to beset us, that pet sin, the things that we have let it. Hey, don't let that stay there and just say, hey, I didn't like what the preacher said. Look it up and see what the Bible says and say, you know what? I serve God. I don't serve a man. I don't serve a church. I serve a God and I serve him. And as I serve him, he is plenteous in forgiveness. He is good. He's ready to forgive. And if I made mistakes and if I've loved things I should not love, help me to repent of that and help me to stop doing those things and help me to clear it out of my life. And when it comes into my life, I'm not going to sit there and just say, oh, it's okay. I'm not going to find somebody else to tell me it's okay. I'm not going to find somebody else to say, oh, that's not that big of a deal. That's not what the Bible is saying. Instead, I'm going to say, that's something I don't want. That's something I do hate and something I'm working on and trying to get rid of. But usually when you confront someone with their sin, it's not, I want to get rid of it. Please help me. Please pray for me. Instead, pride rises up and says, well, you did this and you did that. We don't want to deal with our sins. Blessed be the Lord, once again, the master Lord of our life, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. So many people are stuck on, yeah, he's such a dominating God and he expects your obedience just like that. He deserves it, but he is someone who loads us up with benefits. He's someone who's gracious and willing to forgive and he is plenteous in mercy and he is good to all them that call upon him. So he deserves it. He is Lord. He's God. He created us. But at the same time, he daily loads us with benefits. Oh, Lord, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Yes, he is God and Lord, and we should bow the knee to him because he deserves it. But he is so good to us, and if we've made mistakes, he already knows it. It's when we have to be honest with ourselves, honest with God, honest sometimes with our families, and say, I shouldn't have done it that way. I let things happen that I shouldn't have. I've allowed things in my life that I shouldn't have. And I want to make sure that God's pleased with what I'm doing. Let me encourage you tonight. Look at the things in your life that may be questionable. Look at the things that you laugh at. They're funny. But it's a wicked humor. It's not something that pleases the Lord. So we should be careful what we put. He says, I put no wicked thing before mine eyes. He even goes as far as, I hate the work of them that turn aside. He says, it's not something we should cozy up with. It's something that we should say, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to be messing with that. I don't need to use humor that has God's name in vain or curse words in it. I don't need to tell dirty jokes. I don't need to push the envelope just to be funny. These are things that God is not pleased with. Let me encourage you tonight. There are some things that God hates. And he says, yeah, he does. He hates that homosexuality. He does. But they don't know God. I'm not justifying them. Their sin is sin. It's wicked. The Bible calls it. But at the same time, there's sin in our own hearts and lives that we need to work on, that we have let to harbor there. And he says, these six things do I hate. And there are some things in the Bible that says we're supposed to hate too. But we've learned to make it our friend. And I pray that tonight God will speak to your heart about things that we're friendly with, that we should be enemies to. Things that we're laughing at, that we should be mourning over. I know when I was reading that, he says, there's entertainment that believers, that people are laughing at, that they should be weeping over. And I thought, is there things in my life that I laugh at that in all reality I should be praying for and mourning over? We do have a world, America, that seems that they're headed to hell laughing the whole way. We're never going to help make a difference until we love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. Let's pray.